I used to call him the sleeping prophet. A man could lay himself down, close his eyes, and see things what ain't meant for mortal eyes to behold. Wars, sickness, cities sinking into the sea. He spoke of them all. But that kind of gift, it don't come free. No, sir. 'Cause when you spend your life peering into things what ought to stay hid, don't be surprised when something hidden starts peeping back at you. Welcome to Kentucky Melody's Scary Stories from Kentucky, where we spin yarns about ghostly haints, creepy hollers, and spine-chilling legends from deep in the hills. So grab a chair, dim them lights, and let's dig into something spooky. Now, our story, it starts down yonder in Christian County, Kentucky, a few dusty miles south of Hopkinsville, where the fields stretch out like old quilts and the trees lean in close, like they're listening to your every word. It was March 18th, 1877, when little Edgar Casey comes squalling into this world. Born right there in a weather-beaten farmhouse in a place folks called Beverly. A speck of a settlement so small, even the crows seemed to fly over it twice just to make sure it was worth the trouble. His folks were plain dirt farmers, God-fearing, hymn-singing, Bible-reading people that knew the hard ways of the land better than they knew the softness of luxury. The world they raised Edgar in was a hard one, full of work, prayer, and hope stretched thin like old soap. But even when he was just a fresh squirm of a boy, folks could tell Edgar weren't stitched from the same cloth as other young'uns. Not rowdy, not mean, just different. When he was about 5 or 6, Edgar took to wandering the fields by himself. Said he liked to listen to the corn growing, the way the breeze made the tassels whisper to one another. One evening, just before the sun dropped below the treetops, Edgar went missing. His mama, Carrie, found him sitting cross-legged at the far end of the field, right where the corn met the woods, looking up at nothing she could see. But Edgar, he was smiling real wide, talking low like he was visiting with an old friend. When she called out to him, he didn't jump, didn't act scared, just turned that little sun-browned face toward her and said plain as preaching, "Mama, the angel lady came. She's real pretty, and she asked me what I wanted more'n anything." Carrie, bless her, tried to hush him, told him not to be filling his head with foolishness. But Edgar just blinked those wide gray eyes and said, almost like he was still talking to the air, "I told her I wanted to help folks, help the ones that's hurtin' and the ones what's lost. Now you or me, we might have passed that off as a child's fancy." But from that night on, Edgar was different. He took to sitting under the big sycamore tree at the edge of the property, eyes fluttering, lips moving soft, like he was having conversations with somebody just outside the world we know. There were whispers among the neighbors, talk of the Casey boy being touched, and not always in the good way. Some said he had a gift. Others said he was walking too close to something old, something best left alone. And when folks would ask him what he aimed to do with his life, be a farmer, maybe a preacher, Edgar would just smile a slow, sure smile and say, "I reckon I just want to help folks." Nobody understood him then, leastways, not yet. But the powers he was tapping into that day out in the cornfield, they weren't through with him, not by a long shot. Now, between that time he was 9 and when he got up into his 20s, well, that's when things started slipping sideways, sure as a wagon on a muddy hill. Edgar weren't no good at book learning. Couldn't make heads nor tails of his lessons at first. He'd stare at them, letters and numbers, till his eyes crossed, like they was a secret code God forgot to give him the key for. Teachers scolded him. Other boys laughed behind their hands. Folks in town said maybe he was simple or touched. But Edgar had his own ways. He'd tuck them school books under his pillow at night, shut his eyes tight, and pray mighty hard. Not for good grades, but for understanding. And wouldn't you know it, by morning he'd wake up knowing everything between them covers, like the words had soaked straight into his bones. Teachers scratched their heads and muttered about miracles they didn't much trust. Neighbors wagged their tongues. Some said the devil was at work, whispering in that boy's ear. Others swore it was the Lord himself, passing wisdom straight down like manna from heaven. But either way, everybody agreed that boy weren't natural. One evening, right afore sundown, Edgar was wandering down by the creek, the water running low and slow, full of frogs croaking like a choir. He said that's when he saw her again, that same angel from the cornfield, a shimmering woman made out of pure white light, hovering just above the water, her voice soft and sad like a funeral hymn. She asked him once more what he wanted most, and Edgar, with dust on his boots and the smell of river mud in his nose, answered honest as the day is long. I want to help sickly folks, help the ones that's hurting and the ones what's lost. The angel just smiled and vanished like mist. Weren't long after that, when tragedy come knocking, he was playing a simple game with some boys. Nothing wild, just tossing a ball back and forth, when one of them, bigger than the rest, slammed into Edgar hard, right at the base of the spine. He dropped like a sack of corn. Didn't get back up. They carried him home limp as a rag doll. The doctor come out, set his black bag down, and after a spell, shook his head slow. Said there weren't much they could do but pray. And so they did. Mama crying into her apron. Daddy sitting by the bed, his hat twisting in his hands. And then, when the night was deepest, when hope was thinnest, Edgar, still cold and still as death, started talking, low and clear, told him what herbs to brew, what poultices to lay, like he was reading from some invisible book only he could see. Carrie, his mama, didn't question it. She just done what he said, tears streaming down her face. They packed the herbs on him, said the prayers he named, and sure as the sun rising over a frosty field. Edgar opened his eyes. He was weak, but breathing, smiling faint-like, as if he'd just come back from somewhere far, far away. After that, folks started looking at him sideways. Not mean, mind you, but wary, like he was carrying something heavy. Something old. Something that might spill out if you looked too close. Growing up, Edgar tried mighty hard to live plain and quiet. Worked the fields when he could. Sold books door to door when the crops wouldn't pay. Later, took up with a photographer, learning to capture little moments on glass plates. But sickness followed him like a black dog. Fevers that burned cold, blackouts that stole whole afternoons, aches that moved through his bones like old ghosts, and each time his body gave out, each time no doctor's hand could lift him up, Edgar would do the only thing he knew. He'd lay himself down, shut them weary eyes, and listen. It weren't no accident, neither. Something, or someone, was whispering to Edgar Casey through that thin veil we ain't meant to pull back. And pretty soon, the whole world would know it. Come the year 1900, Edgar's voice just give out on him, like a lamp run out of oil. Started as a little scratch in his throat, then a croak, then nothing but a hoarse whisper, no matter how he strained. Doctors come and went, scratching their heads and muttering about polyps, nerves, maybe something wrong in the brain. They bled him, poked him, prescribed tonics so bitter they'd curl your toes. Nothing worked. Day after day, Edgar got quieter, and the world around him seemed to lean in, listening for a voice that just weren't there anymore. Folks started thinking that maybe the Lord had giveth, and now the Lord had took away. But then one day, a traveling feller come through Owensboro, one of them mesmerists, hypnotist types what could talk a chicken out of an egg. He heard tell of the quiet man with the gift and said he'd try something different. He told Edgar to lay himself down, easy now, like soothing a spooked horse after a thunderclap. Started talking low, coaxing Edgar into a deep sleep, slow as syrup dripping off a biscuit. And when Edgar slipped under, something happened, still as stone, his body resting easy. But his mouth opened, and out poured words, clear, steady, strong, like a river busting through a dam. He described, plain as preaching, what was wrong inside his own throat. Swelled up cords, clogged blood vessels, nothing a man could see with his eyes, but there all the same. Told him exactly how to fix it, too. Rest, certain herbs, no cutting, no bleeding. When he woke up, coughed a time or two, his voice was back, full and strong, like it had never left. Word about that miracle spread like wildfire through dry brush, carried on every tongue from the river to the ridge. Didn't matter if you was rich or poor, learned or simple, city folk or hollerborn. Folks started coming, writing, begging for Edgar to look in on them, and he could. Didn't need to see you face to face, neither. All he asked for was your name and where you laid your head at night. Edgar would stretch out flat on a simple couch, his hands folded over his belly like a man in prayer. He'd close his eyes, drift off like a feather on the wind, and from that dark place he'd see. See what ailment was gnawing at you from the inside, things that no doctor's stethoscope could catch, no X-ray could spy. He spoke of blood thickening, organs twisting, fevers burning from places no medicine dared touch. But that ain't all he saw. No, sir. When Edgar Casey slept, he didn't just peek into broken bodies. He slipped into places what hadn't yet come to pass, saw shadows of wars not yet fought, cities drowned by waters still far from their shores, a world shifting and moaning like it knew something terrible was coming. And all the while, Edgar kept dreaming and speaking and listening to whispers what most folks was blessed not to ever hear. As time wore on, Edgar's sleep and mind wandered deeper than any man had a right to go. At first, it was simple things, a sore throat here, a twisted gut there. But soon enough, his voice started painting pictures of things that hadn't happened yet, things dark as a storm cloud gathering over the hills. He spoke of a great crash that would bring mighty banks and proud men to their knees, a tumble worse than any dust storm, long before the stock market ever fell in 29. He warned of another war brewing overseas, bigger and meaner than the first, when most folks still thought the world was too tired to pick up a rifle again. He saw floods swallowing up the land, mountains crumbling like wet paper, oceans roaring up and taking whole cities clean off the map. But that weren't even the half of it. In his deeper trances, Edgar started talking strange about things most church folks wouldn't dare whisper over their supper tables. He claimed that souls didn't just live once and head on to judgment. No, sir. He said we come round again and again, wearing different skins, bearing old wounds, paying debts we ain't even remembered taking on. Called it reincarnation, though he didn't use them big words at first. Said there was a place, not of earth nor sky, called the Akashic Records. A mighty ledger, older in time itself. A book where every breath, every tear, every wicked thought and holy hope ever carried by a soul was writ down. Forever and always. And Edgar claimed, when he slept, he could open them pages, read from them like a preacher reads from the good book. Now, that kind of talk? Don't sit easy on folks. Didn't back then. Don't now, neither. Some said he was touching holy mysteries. Others said he was stirring up devils best left in the dark. But either way, you cut it. There weren't no denying that Edgar Casey was tapping into something bigger, older, and a whole lot stranger than this world we walk on. And once them doors got opened, there weren't no easy way to shut them again. Trouble was, every reading pulled something out of him, like a candle burning from both ends. Edgar didn't charge folks at first. Said it weren't right to make money off a gift. But mouths needed feeding, and hard times don't much care about principles. By the 1930s, he set up the Association for Research and Enlightenment down in Virginia Beach, hoping to study and protect whatever it was coming through him. But not everybody thought it was holy work. Critics called him a charlatan. Preachers called him a heretic. Some said he'd throwed open a door that ought to stayed shut. Whispers told of lights flickering in his house, of cold winds where there weren't no windows open, of strange voices heard after midnight, whispering while Edgar lay sleeping. By 1944, Edgar was a shell of a man. Doctors warned him, stop the readings or die. But he couldn't stop. Said it was a calling he had to answer, even if it meant digging his own grave. On New Year's Day, 1945, he gave his last reading. 2 days later, he was dead. He left behind over 14,000 readings, visions of sickness, salvation, doom, and destiny. Some say a good many come true already. Others reckon the worst of them is still waiting. Breathing just beyond the bend. What do you reckon? Was Edgar Casey touched by the hand of something higher? Or did he stray too close to a fire no man was meant to touch? Have you ever dreamt something that felt like a warning? Ever felt like a memory crawled up from a life that wasn't your own? We'd surely love to hear your tales. Leave us a note in the comments below. And if this story of prophecy, haunting, and unseen reckoning kept you listening with one ear to the dark, hit that subscribe button and hitch a ride back here next time. We'll keep the fire burning. But you best keep one eye open. 'Cause out here in Kentucky, sometimes the ones whispering your name ain't no living soul at all.